Our gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6. Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show to others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
God calls us to return to him with sincerity and humility. And Ash Wednesday reminds us that true repentance is not an outward performance, but a heart turned again towards the Father. But most people do not find it difficult to admit that life is busy or that prayer can drift into the background. But it is harder to admit how easily even our faith, our religion, can become something we perform rather than something that we live. And Ash Wednesday interrupts us, but gently, but firmly, to ask us an important but simple question. Where is your heart really turned? Joel from the Old Testament speaks into a moment of deep crisis. The land has been devastated. The people are shaken, and there is a growing sense that something is profoundly wrong. Not outwardly, but inwardly. And into that moment, the prophet does not offer a program or a quick fix. He gives a call, simple but searching. Return to me with all your heart. That word return is important. John is not calling them to something new, but to come back to what they have neglected. Repentance in scripture is often less about changing direction for the first time and more about coming home again, about turning back toward God who has never moved away from us. And then Joel says something that would have stopped people in their tracks. He says, rend your heart and not your garments. Rending is tearing. And in the ancient world, tearing one's clothes was a powerful and public sign of grief or repentance. It was visible, it was dramatic, and it was unmistakable. People could see it and know that something serious had just happened. But Joel exposes a danger that runs through all religious life, in every generation, and including our own today. It is possible to display the outward signs of repentance without ever allowing the heart to be changed. It is possible to perform sorrow without truly turning to God. That's why Joel directs the people inward to the place no one else can see. The place where our motives live, where attachments are formed, and where we either cling to God or we'd quietly drift away from him. And then, almost as if he knows the fear that might rise in people's hearts, Joel reminds them who God truly is. He says, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." Repentance is not driven by fear alone. It is sustained by hope. We return to God's mercy. We return to God because he is merciful, because his character gives us courage to come back to him. And then we turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we find that Jesus is addressing the same issue, but from another angle. He speaks to people who are outwardly faithful, people who pray, who give, who fast, people who do what religious people are meant to do. And yet he sees a subtle danger growing amongst them. Not open rebellion, not obvious sin, but something quieter and in many ways more dangerous. The slow shift from the living God to the slow shift from living before God to living before other people. Again and again, Jesus returns to the same phrase, to be seen by others. That is the thread running through the whole passage. The problem is not about giving or prayer or fasting. Jesus assumes that his disciples do all three of these. The problem is the audience. Who are we really living for? Whose approval are we seeking? Whose eyes matter most to us? And then Jesus introduces a phrase that becomes the center of gravity for everything that he is saying. Your Father who sees in secret. It is quite a remarkable phrase. If we pause and just let that settle, God sees in secret. He sees the prayer whispered in exhaustion at the end of a long day. He sees the quiet act of generosity nobody else notices. He sees the struggle, the repentance, and the moments when hearts turn back towards him in ways that no one else would or could ever recognize. This is not the gaze of a distant observer. It is the gaze of a father. And that word changes everything. Jesus is not describing God who is watching to condemn, but a father who sees in order to receive, who sees us in order to reward, and who sees us in order to draw us closer to him. And this is where Ash Wednesday begins to make sense in a deeper way. The ashes we receive tonight are visible. They mark us outwardly. They are not meant to be the end of repentance. They are meant to be the beginning of it. They are a sign and not a substitute, a reminder and not a performance. The real work of repentance happens in our hearts, in the quiet places of prayer, in the honest admission of sin, in the slow reordering of our lives, and in the daily turning back towards God, when we realise how easily we have been drifting. There is also something else in this passage that is so easy to miss. Jesus speaks about reward, and that language could actually make some of us feel uncomfortable. But it's not talking about earning God's favour. It is talking about the deep joy in living in the presence of God. The kind of reward that is not applause or recognition, but peace, clarity, and a heart that is gradually being made whole. And that leads us to the final part of the reading, where Jesus speaks about treasure. He says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But notice the order. He doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be. He reverses it. What we invest in, what we give our time to, what we pursue, what we dwell on, these things shape our hearts over time. And that is why Lent matters. Not because 40 days can make us perfect, but because small, faithful choices, repeated day after day, begin to reshape what we love. And what we love begins to reshape who we truly are. Joel calls us to return. Jesus shows us how to return. And both remind us why we can't return at all. Because the God who calls us back is... And both remind us why we can return at all. Because God is the God who calls us back. And he is gracious. He is compassionate. And he is ready to receive us. So what does this mean to us tonight as Lent begins practically? Well, first, it means honesty. Ash Wednesday strips away pretense. The words, "Remember that you are dust," are not meant to crush us. They tell us the truth about our humanity. We are fragile. We are dependent. And we need grace more often than we admit. Secondly, it means simplicity. Jesus directs us towards quiet faithfulness, prayer that is real rather than impressive, generosity that is unseen rather than noticed, fasting that is sincere rather than theatrical. These are not grand gestures, but they are small, faithful acts. They reshape the heart over time. Third, it means returning. Not improving ourselves, not reinventing ourselves, but just simply returning. Returning to prayer, returning to scripture, returning to the presence of God in the ordinary rhythms of our everyday lives. Lent is not a test of our spiritual strength. It is an invitation to come home again. And Ash Wednesday places before us a gentle but searching choice. We can continue as we are, busy and distracted, outwardly faithful but inwardly distant. Or we can return quietly, honestly, to the Father who sees in secret and who receives every heart that turn towards him. And the hope that holds all of this together is simple but profound. The God who calls us to return is the same God who meets us with grace when we do. The challenge for us is that we notice that we have drifted. And that is sometimes the danger which times like Lent and Advent give us. If I were to tell you to walk 5 miles down the road and give you the directions, but 1 degree off over that 5-mile trek, you would not even be close to the destination you thought you were going. But 1 degree over a long period of time or distance sets us off track a long way. So the challenge between Joel and Jesus tonight can be deep and profound, but we must understand that we must question, first of all, have I drifted in my prayer, in my scripture reading, in my coming to church, in my helping others, in my giving money to help those who are more unfortunate than I am at this time? Or do we say and believe that we are all okay? The spirit of Lent, this time, is a time of reflection, a time of resetting, and a time to be welcomed back to our Father in heaven, who will never turn us away, but welcome us back once again. Amen.